Fingers text the breath, doubled the globe of dead, and halved a country. These five kings, and did a king to death. The mighty hand leads to a sloping shoulder. The finger joints are cramped with chalk. A goose's quill has put an end to murder that put an end to talk. The hand that signed the treaty bred the fever, and famine grew, and locusts came. Great is the hand that holds dominion over men by a scribbled name. The five kings count the dead, but do not soften the crusted wound, nor pet the brow. A hand rules pity, as a hand rules heaven. Hands have no tears to flow.
In much of his writing, Dylan Thomas was drawn back to his early years. The legend of the frenzied poet, drinking his way through 100 saloon bars in London, later doing the same in New York, is a distortion. He did his share of noisy living, but he was someone else as well. Most of his time wasn't spent in large cities at all, but in towns and villages. His upbringing in Swansea, which was then a seaport and a manufacturing centre, left him with a powerful nostalgia for the smaller provincial world that it represented. He grew up in a genteel suburb, well away from the coal mines and tinplate works on the other side of town, and he went to the local grammar school, where his father was, rather conveniently, the English master. By the time he was a teenager, the centre of his imaginative life was a cramped little bedroom, where he wrote poems and copied them into cheap notebooks. Before he was 19, he had written getting on for half the poems he'd ever publish. They weren't always in their final form, but they were on the drawing board in Swansea. The place drew him back all his life. In the winter of 1941, the day after German air raids that destroyed the town centre, an acquaintance saw him wandering amid the ruins. Thomas was then 26. "Our Swansea is dead," he said. After the war, in 1947, he went back to the town to write a radio programme, Return Journey, in which he searches for the person he once was. The idea is simple enough, even banal if handled by someone less sensitive to memory than Dylan Thomas. He walks the streets. It's February, the month when Swansea was bombed, 6 years earlier, blitzed, as they used to say. Rebuilding hasn't begun. The town is still in ruins. The voice he uses to narrate the programme is restrained. This isn't the booming poet. It's more the poet thinking aloud. The BBC announcer uses the traditional Welsh pronunciation of the name Dullan, not Dylan. But Thomas thought that Dylan suited him better.
We present Return Journey, a feature programme in which the poet Dylan Thomas returns to the Swansea of his youth. Return Journey.
It was a cold white day in High Street, and nothing to stop the wind slicing up from the docks. For where the squat and tall shops had shielded the town from the sea, lay their blitzed flat graves, marbled with snow and headstoned with fences. Dogs, delicate as cats on water, as though they had gloves on their paws, padded over the vanished buildings. Boys romped, calling high and clear, on top of a levelled chemist's and a shoe shop. And a little girl, wearing a man's cap, threw a snowball in a chill, deserted garden that had once been the jug and bottle of the Prince of Wales. The wind cut up the street with a soft sea noise hanging on its arm like a hooter in a muffler. I could see the swathed hill stepping up out of the town, which you never could see properly before, and the powdered fields of the roofs of Milton Terrace and Watkins Street and Fuller's Row. Fish-frailed, net-bagged, umbrellaed, pixie-capped, fur-shoed, blue-nosed, puce-lipped, blinkered like dray horses, scarved, mittened, galoshed,